Well, my God, maybe we need to get rid of some of this stuff that doesn't seem to be doing a very good job. If you invited a cleaning person in to take care and your house was dirtier than when they came in after they were there for a few hours, you wouldn't mind letting them go, and hopefully they would get another job or learn another skill. But you certainly wouldn't keep them coming in and making a mess in your home, would you? Well, unfortunately, there's been some things go on that have not done a very good job of making this a beautiful world for a large number of people. And so here we are today with an opportunity to have to talk with and to listen to two wonderful, wonderful people. A gentleman, Jacques Fresco, a futurist and inventor who has been envisioning the future for literally almost a century as an industrial designer and social engineer. And he is a forerunner in the field of human factors engineering. And he's worked as both innovator and inventor in a wide range of fields spanning aerospace, medicine, architecture, automotive design, psychology, and much more. Yes, it's definitely a Renaissance man with many, many talents. And he is the founder of the Venus Project, like the planet Venus, Venus Project, which happens to be located on a 21-acre facility, research facility in, guess where? Venus, Florida. Where else would you put it? Its function is to prepare solutions to major problems that confront the world today. And the Venus Project reflects the culmination of his life's work, the integration of the best of science and technology into a comprehensive plan for a new society based on human and environmental concern. And he has been on countless television shows, and there's been magazine articles and documentaries about Mr. Fresco and the Venus Project, and of course the website, Venus, V-E-N-U-S, project.com. And he has had a wonderful, wonderful associate that has worked hand in hand with him for many, many years, and her name is Roxanne Meadows, and she is an accomplished and well-known technical and architectural illustrator, model maker, and scientific and medical illustrator. And she has supplied architectural renderings, models, and design work to major developers and architects throughout the country. Well, all the way back from 1975, that's, oh, golly, what are we thinking about, 37 years, to now, has worked with Jacques to develop and promote this Venus Project. So Jacques, of course, has got a few more years into it than Roxanne, but 37 years, you know she's got to know what's going on a little, right, folks? Well, she helped develop the Venus Project's 21-acre research and planning center, and Ms. Meadows has edited educational videos, prepared blueprints, models, and renderings from the designs of Mr. Fresco, and she, along with Jacques, has lectured and conducted seminars throughout the world as a futurist presenting the aims of the Venus Project. So, oh boy, here we go. Let's welcome Jacques Fresco and Roxanne Meadows. Hello, hello.
Hi, Kenneth. Thanks for the opportunity to be on your show.
Yes, Kenneth, thank you.
Oh, this is truly exciting. Anyone that has not seen some of the things on your website or learned more, first I want to give folks an opportunity, because your work is so exquisite in terms of offering real solutions. Would you help, please give us a little bit of the background of how you came to this, and then where people can learn more details and what's available for them to actually see that this world is not of a better world is not just a fantasy, but it's actually something with solid plans.
Well, I can give you my background, which stimulated me to come up with the idea of a resource-based economy. It happened during the 29 crash, the Great Depression, many years ago. There was all kinds of commodities in store windows, but the public did not have the purchasing power to buy things. And there were millions of people who were unemployed, and factories had signs on them, no help wanted. And I didn't understand at the time what stopped our culture all of a sudden. And it must have been the rules of the game. There were 15 million people unemployed, and they were sleeping in every empty lot. They couldn't pay the rent. Landlords didn't kick out the people. Some of them kept them there. And the landlords themselves were starving, but they couldn't get relief because they owned the building. They couldn't even sell the building. It was a depression. And it was a very sad situation. My dad was an agronomist, and he was one of the first guys laid off. He just tried to get a job, but he could not. So I began to question the way our society operates. And I realized then, of course, that the language we use was designed hundreds of years ago, and that we really cannot talk to each other, because when you talk to another person, it goes in their head and is interpreted by their background. In other words, I found that language is subject to interpretation.
Yeah.
For example, when I read the Bible, I figured that it meant something in particular. But I met different people that said, oh no, that's not what Jesus meant. And so other people had other views. It was subject to interpretation. When language is subject to interpretation, it's very difficult to get meaning across. In other words, even scientists wrote books on why man can't fly. Instead of saying, I don't know enough about building a flying machine to even comment on it, that would be the scientific method. But writing a book on why man can't fly is not in accordance with a scientific method. And the language that we use every day does not really talk about anything. It's really a form of gibberish. I'm going to try to elaborate on that. No matter what you advocate, whether it be religion, non-religion, agnosticism, capitalism, communism, socialism, all subject to interpretation, depending on your background. Now, if you were raised in Nazi Germany, if you never saw anything else, never read any other books, just heard Hitler speaking, you would probably be a Nazi. If you were raised by the headhunters of the Amazon, if you never saw anything else, you'd probably be a headhunter. I think that environment, to a very large extent, shapes our values, our behavior, our facial expressions, and our social institutions. How then can man evolve if people are brought up with a different value system entirely? Is there any way of checking out a value system to ascertain its validity? Yes, I think there is a way. I think that if we stick close to the scientific method, not scientists, the scientific method. In other words, if the government asks scientists to produce a new bomb that's very dangerous, like the nuclear weapons, I think that if a person were a scientist, they'd ask, what are they making that bomb for, and why can't we bridge the difference between nations? Why do we use military systems for attempting to solve problems? It didn't make sense to me. I think that we have enough information today to bridge the difference between nations without killing people or bombing cities. If you understand the Bible, it says, thou shalt not kill. It doesn't say killing is okay Wednesdays and Thursdays. It says, thou shalt not.
Right.
It says, love your enemy. It says, if a man strikes you, turn the other cheek. I think I've never met a Christian that is a person that behaved that way. You know, there's so many things that are not working in our society that we have to find a system, a language that's not subject to interpretation. Mathematics is not subject to interpretation. Chemistry is not subject to interpretation. When engineers speak to each other, they use terms such as tensile strength, torsional strength, so other engineers understand exactly what they mean. But the everyday language, when I say is gibberish, it does not, it's subject to interpretation. And this is why the Democrats can't communicate with the Republicans. The Republicans can't communicate with the Democrats. Husbands and wives have difficulty communicating. Children and parents have difficulty communicating. Therefore, I think that our language is being subject to interpretation does not afford a bridge between different nations. In other words, if you, Kenneth, were brought up in Australia, you might say, how are you, mate? You know, that would be normal to that environment. And if you were brought up in ancient Rome, when people believed in many different gods, the god of war, the god of fertility, they had all kinds of gods. And when a Christian came to town and said there's only one God, they said, listen to that jerk. He thinks there's only one God. One God couldn't handle all the problems. And then people had all kinds of values, such as if the good Lord wanted man to fly, he'd have been born with wings. And then they said, well, if the good Lord wanted man to wear clothing, he'd been born with clothing. So you can attack all those things with different values. But what we have to do is develop a language that is not subject to interpretation. That is the major problem of our society today. Even the Supreme Court judges would be considered criminals in a future society, because there they are judging people knowing nothing about the factors that shape their behavior. I don't think that a headhunter is a bad person. I think that a headhunter is brought up in a society that advocates headhunting and head shrinking. I think that a person brought up in a Nazi culture will follow the Nazi culture. I don't think they have the methods of evaluation to determine whether a thing is operant or not. When people use a physical reference in their description of things, then you can focus on criticizing. But if they don't use a physical reference, such as saying the world ought to learn to live together in harmony and peace, how do you do that? Those are verbal hobbies. When a person says the world should learn to live together in peace and harmony without expressing how to do that, they leave the public in midair. When you protest Wall Street or whatever you protest, if you don't offer an alternative, you offer nothing. So instead of criticizing your government, what is your alternative? And I'm going to give you an idea of what I mean by that. Instead of the signs, drive carefully, slippery when wet, put abrasive in the highway so it's not slippery when wet, and get rid of the sign. Instead of saying we have to learn how to live in peace and harmony, how do you attain that? If you don't put out a method for attaining that, you leave people in midair. So what the Venus Project offers is a method of attaining social sanity in the world, that all the separate nations with their military systems are trying to defend their own holdings. And a system that is called democracy cannot work unless people have equal access to purchasing power. And if they don't have equal access, you cannot drive the car you want. You can only drive the car you can afford. You cannot live in the house you want to live in. You can only live in the house you can afford. Therefore, the system that uses the word democracy without a language to attain democracy is a system that will not work. So this is happening all over the world, not just the United States. It seems that all the cultures all over the world are collapsing, but they don't offer an alternative. They don't like what they see, but if they got in, what would they do? What would their solutions be? Well, what the Venus Project does is offer a possible solution to the world's problems. I'm going to go into that now. We must, if we want a world without war, without most crime, and without most arguments, we have to declare the earth as the common heritage of all the world's people. All of the resources of the earth must be shared equally. If few nations control most of the water and most of the resources, there's going to be territorial disputes, always. No matter how many laws you make, all man-made laws are artificial. We have to learn how we relate to nature. If we fail to do that, we will always have war and territorial disputes and most crime. But if all the world's people have access to the necessities of life without a price tag, then you'll have no problems. All problems are produced by scarcity. When you have scarcity, people want to improve their standard of living, so they get involved in embezzlement, money laundering, and money, according to the Bible, the love of money is the root of all evil. And as long as you have money, if you can put up $1 million to help someone get elected, you owe them a favor, or they owe you a favor. When you put up money to help people get involved in anything, you are selling yourself to the highest bidder. So the monetary system produces most crimes and most problems. So we have to devise a system that makes all the necessities of life available to all people without servitude, militarism. When we talk of we send the army in to bring democracy to a foreign country, that's a lie. We use military systems to acquire oil or cheap labor. We do not go to another country to enhance its life standards. Unfortunately, all politicians say things people like to hear. Whereas in science, if everybody believed the earth is flat, the scientists will not say it's a little flat and a little round to get along with everybody. They don't do that. They say, according to our findings, and they show you what their findings are, the earth is not flat, it's round. That the earth is not the center of the universe, as people would like to believe. In other words, politicians say things people like to hear. They don't know what the truth means. They don't even know how to solve problems. But I don't want you to take my word for that. I want you to walk over to any politician and ask them, how can you prevent war? The answer would be, we don't know. How will you prevent cars from hitting each other? I don't know. And they don't seem to know anything at all. Politicians are people that just say things people like to hear. They do not have information. The only source of information appears to be the methods of science, not scientists, the methods of science. When I use the term the methods of science, when they test an object, they give you its torsional strength, its compression strength, its tensile strength, so it's not subject to interpretation. When you deliver a blueprint for an automobile, if it's sent to Japan, they turn out the same product. They don't say, I think that the wheels are 12 inches in diameter. All that information is in the blueprint. So it's not subject to interpretation. I hope you understand what I'm saying.
It's wonderful.
Noah, in the scientific language, is the fact that you've got the electric light, you got transmission lines, you got washing machines, all of that eases your life. But good luck. Have a nice vacation. Does nothing for you. People have to learn to say, not have a nice life, but how to attain that. Now we'll open for questions.
Oh, wow. Well, this is wonderful to hear how by turning to the scientific method where things are not just open to interpretation, that we have an opportunity to have some precision and some things that aren't just being interpreted differently all around the world. Plus, the points that you make are so wonderful in terms of how can you expect people to really work with each other and find ways to get along when the resources aren't being allocated in a way that people can get their needs met. Obviously, this to me, Jacques, is very, very true and accurate, and you don't hear enough people talking about this because so much time is spent on, well, is it democracy? No, it's communism, it's socialism, some form of social enterprise, none of which have really proven to work in terms of helping people to live well and get their needs met. Would you help us to learn a little bit more? Because you have this overview theory that is a method that we could follow to get things better. Would you go into some of the actual things that you've developed in terms of some of the different systems that we might have to utilize in making this better world?
Well, I can only attempt to do that. I can do that on Saturday at 1 o'clock during our tours, but it's very difficult on the air to do that. When a man says to a woman, "I love you," what is he talking about?
Yeah.
I don't know what he's talking about. I don't know what he means. When a person says, "Have a nice vacation," do you control the weather? Those people don't control anything. Why don't they say, just have a nice life and be done with it? Why do they say, have a nice weekend? Because everybody talks that way. People do not talk to each other. They really are involved in a language that goes absolutely nowhere. So people get into conflict and argument, and so they go see a psychologist or a conflict resolution group. Actually, a psychologist has to be a pinhead if they adjust you to this system. Do you understand what I'm talking about?
Yes, there's a joke.
A psychiatrist in Germany will adjust you to that system. A psychiatrist in France will adjust you to that system. Psychiatry has to give you a method of evaluation that works. And they don't know what that is yet. They don't understand the factors that shape human behavior. Every criminal is made that way by the society they live in. For example, a politician today would be considered a criminal in the future. A lawyer today would be considered a criminal in the future. A judge would be considered a criminal because they're making judgments on people that they know nothing about or nothing about the factors that shape human behavior. And factors shape human behavior, they're not responsible for their behavior. If you lived in ancient Rome, it would be normal for you to want to feed Christians to lions in the arena. That's a normal activity. If you're brought up in the Arab world, you might have 10 wives if you can afford it. That is normal to that culture. It was normal in America years ago in Salem, Massachusetts, to burn witches. Were the people bad? No. They had no value system for dealing with that problem. And they used to burn women alive that had a viewpoint that was different than their own. Rather than saying, "I don't understand your viewpoint, I'd like to know more about it." You know, years ago I asked normal people, normal means loused up, I used to ask normal people, do you think we'll ever get to the moon? They said, no, not in 1,000 years. Do you know anything about rockets? No. Do you know anything about space travel? No. Then your real answer is, I don't know enough about it to give you an intelligent comment on the subject. I don't know enough to formulate a decision. In the future, when people learn to speak with a physical referent in their language, you'll have practically no conflict.
And the aims and the wishes for a better life today that people have, of no war and harmony and peace and a high standard of living for all people, cannot be achieved within the monetary system, because the main aim is wealth, property, and power, and it perpetuates scarcity. You have to keep things scarce in this system in order to keep the prices up. So, you know, every year, in order to sell, you have to perpetually sell things in this culture. So you have to change the styles, you have to change the colors and the fashion. So people always have to be up to date in fashions and continuously buy things. We're plundering the planet for profit. So there's no way, as I mentioned, that you can achieve well-being in this culture. So many years ago, Jacques started looking at social systems and social designs and found that none of them were adequate. Communism is old for today. Socialism doesn't work. We have tremendous technology today, but it hasn't kept up with our social systems. Don't use it to its full extent. We don't use it to make abundance and create a high standard of living for everyone. But this is the difference with what Jacques calls a resource-based economy, where all goods and services are available to everyone without money, barter, credit, or any type of servitude, because we use technology to do away with boring and monotonous jobs. We use our technology immediately to raise the standard of living for everyone. The difference with a resource-based economy and the society today is that the main aim in a resource-based economy is for the well-being of people, enabling them to live a high standard of living, become creative and participatory, and preserve the environment. Where today, the main aim is wealth, property, and power, as I mentioned, and profit at any cost. Even if we're polluting ourselves, we're polluting the air, we're polluting the water, we're poisoning our foods, we're on the verge any time of nuclear war. We live a competitive life, so there are few nations controlling most of the Earth's resources, and you'll continuously have problems that way. They use their military to grab resources to take care of each little individual nation. You'll never create harmony and peace that way. So this is why Jacques came up with a totally new social design, which is a resource-based economy.
Mm. Wow. Wow, this is so exciting. Wondering, from reviewing some of the things on your website, I know that there's a tremendous amount of design work of practical things that he's done. What I'm curious about is what are some of the pathways that you consider that we might take to make some shifts from this monetary system-based world that we live in to this resource base that you put forward as the path to help us to really have the future that we want.
In other words, how do we get from here to there?
Yeah.
Well, years ago, I asked myself a question. Thinking is talking to yourself. There's no such thing as born gifted people, gifted artists, talented inventors. All that is bull. It depends on the environment you're raised in. We can make everybody Leonardo da Vinci, because Leonardo da Vinci did not associate with normal people. He associated with people that talk of gears and levers. If you bring up people to be creative, they don't know how to do that. If you ask a creative person today, how is it you're able to write so many stories and so many new ideas? They say, I don't know, it just seems natural. They don't know. if you ask a child, how do you walk? They say, I don't know. I used to crawl, then I got up and I fell over, and then I learned to walk. But that doesn't tell you anything. Walking is taking the weight off one leg, freeing the other leg, and you move the other leg in the direction you want to go. Then you take the weight off the right leg, and you move it in another direction. When you know how to describe things, you know, if you don't understand me yet, if people came from another world and kidnapped an American family and took it to another world and said, what do you have in your world? Then we have television, radio, washing machines, telephones. How does your telephone work? I don't know. How does your television work? I don't know. People don't even know how their system works. Did you know they read the Bill of Rights in high school to see how students would respond to it? And they said it sounds like communist propaganda.
Oh, my.
Yes, I'm telling you, Americans don't know. In other words, if your president were to get up and criticize another country, what I would do is when he was through criticizing, I would invite the prime minister of that country and give him the same airtime the president had. I would invite different points of view. If you just have religion on the air Saturday and Sunday, that's controlled news. You should have everything, what different people believe all over the world and what people don't believe. Then that is a democracy. But when you just have military people speaking on the air, you don't have a democracy. That's managed news. All societies keep their people within the value system of that culture. The value system that keeps people in power is what they use. They don't have any idea of what to do. And this is why I love to speak at universities. When I speak at universities, I turn a lot of students around very fast in one session. So years ago, I asked myself, how are you going to change the world with all those different values? So I joined, this is years ago, I joined the Ku Klux Klan and dissolved it in a month and a half in Miami. Then I joined the White Citizens Council. I dissolved that in 1 month. Then I joined the Arab culture that believed that the earth was flat, and I dissolved that in 2.5 hours. So you have to practice, put into practice your methods. If they don't work, it won't solve the problems. So I have been turning people around for years, because changing their values is the job that has to be done. When the head of the Klan said to me, Jock, you're a smart guy, what do you think of the Ku Klux Klan? I said, it's a great organization, but it doesn't go far enough. That gets his ear. If you attack, you lose it. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
Not attack a system. You have to always say, that's a very good attempt, but it doesn't go far enough. You get the ear of another person.
In terms of how you get from here to there, people really have to understand what this new direction is, because it's so different than the values that they're taught today. As Jacques mentioned, what they are taught is to perpetuate this system. You think you're free thinkers, but everything you learn comes from your schools, your books, your heroes, your movies, your TV, your news, your radio. And even your universities are backed by industries today, so they don't want to teach them anything that would be against different industries or perpetuate the monetary system. So in order to learn about this new direction, and it's very extensive, Jacques spent a whole lifetime arriving at this in many different areas. We have books on our website, we have videos, we have free ebooks if you can't afford to get them, and we are not backed by anybody.
What's our website?
We've always supported this ourselves. We also feel that a major motion picture is very important, and we're trying to do that. We put out documentaries. There's going to be a new free documentary that we just did on the internet in March, so watch for that. We have different people that work with us and join the different groups, the animators, to put Jacques' designs into animations, to games. We have a database of over 2,000 professionals who want to join us. Jacques has, and our website is thevenusproject.com. You'll see a lot of activity on that. And we have activism in all different parts of the world who are trying to help this direction, work with the Venus Project. So there's a lot going on. But first we say to learn about this. There's an excellent book that Jacques wrote where many documentaries were taken from it also. It's called The Best That Money Can't Buy. That's a good one to start with if you want to learn about the Venus Project. We also give seminars and tours here on Saturdays. People come from all over the world, and Jacques speaks for about 5 hours. We show you around the grounds. Jacques is not just a verbalist. He's not just somebody who talks about wishes and aspirations about what the future would be like. He actually designs technically what it could look like to be efficient and clean and sustainable. Those aren't just words. He puts it into practice. He designs things that would do that for people. And his method of design is so everyone can have a high standard of living. You can conserve resources and energy and make things redundant so they're safe, such as his city systems. You can see them. If you go on our website under technology, you can see hundreds of his designs for the future of actually how to build a resource-based economy.
Wow, this is excellent to know that there's so much thought that went into this, and in particular, Jacques and Roxanne, you brought something up about an ability to communicate with different groups and get some change. Is there somewhere on the website, because to talk to someone from the Ku Klux Klan or different organizations and in a short amount of time to make tremendous headway, to me, this is one of the key pieces of information that is needed to help people communicate effectively to make change. Where can we learn the details of how you do this?
Well, we have taped some of Jacques' lectures and combined them on four and a half hours of videos, and it's called The Venus Project Tours on our website, and it goes into some of those stories of how Jacques has changed the Klan, how he's worked with a long time ago what was called juvenile delinquents and changed them. He has very different approaches to working with people. He puts it to test to show how you can change values and bring them up, you can update them to the technological world that we live in for a better society. You know, he worked with drug addicts and alcoholics, and he didn't just have them stop drinking or have them stop doing drugs. He was more concerned with how they thought and made them socially aware and socially conscious people to work towards a better life.
Okay. Now, for someone that wanted specific information, obviously, having worked on this, you, Roxanne, for 37 years, and Jacques for close to almost going on 100 years or 90 years, there's a huge amount. Is some of this categorized in a way where, if you go to some websites and you can search and be able to pull specific topics together, so that you mentioned like there's 4.5 hours of video, but there may only be 20 minutes of that 4.5 hours that he's describing something about effective communication with different people. How would you go about actually getting to that one topic at a time?
Well, you know, all of the topics are relevant. They're all intertwined. That's why in the future there would be generalists. Today people are specialists, and they don't know much about other topics. That's why somebody who studies rocketry, the country can get them to make weapons against another country. If they were sane and if they were a generalist, they'd ask, why are we doing this? And they'd look into what the other country is advocating as well. So everything really is interconnected, and if you did get the Venus Project tour, you would get a lot on communications and working with people, but you'd get a lot of other things that were necessary as well. And as I said, Jacques' book, The Best That Money Can't Buy, and we do have a lot of free books on our website as well. One is called Designing the Future, and there's a lot of pictures in that. There's another one that Jacques did in 1969 with Kenneth Kies called Looking Forward. That's on the website, but we have literally hundreds of videos on our YouTube channel, and you can go to different categories on our website, too, to learn things. They are categorized.
Okay, good, good. Well, that to me, that would be so important because some of these breakthroughs that have been made are not just architectural and inventions, which are fabulous, but the communication style that can be effective in helping so many different people to become more aware and to become... Jacques, this is huge.
Yes, it is. And it's not, a lot of people think it's just about technology or new cities or new designs and energy efficient transportation. Jacques really spans a gamut of all of it, or new energy systems. It's really about a way of thinking. It's about a new value system of how to sustain the earth, how do we relate to one another, how we preserve the environment.
If you really think about it, if you listen to your politicians, they absolutely say nothing. In all their debates and discussions, they don't really talk about anything. If you know what to look for.
Yeah. And what is it that you look at when you're listening to them that helps you to notice?
How do you attain that? What is creativity? How do people think of new ideas? What kind of background does it take? For example, I wanted my youngster to become more creative. When he was 4 years old, I used to read to him, but I never taught him to read. I used to read to him, and I'd close the book at the most interesting part of the book. He said, Daddy, what happened then? I said, if you learn to read, you can find out yourself. Give them a reason to want to read. Don't teach them to read. Don't teach them mathematics. Show them how it's used.
And make it interesting.
Yes. That is the job that has to be done.
Wow. That's
it really is very simple.
Wonderful.
The Venus Project is very simple. It's not complicated. What is complicated is the stupidity and lack of information that all people have today. That's why you have nationalism. I pledge allegiance to this country or that country. We have to pledge allegiance to the earth and all its natural resources and all the people and take care of nature. We're not separate from nature. We're part of nature. We have to learn how we relate to nature.
And we have to make all the earth's resources the common heritage of all the earth's people.
Anything less will revert back to the same problems over and over again.
And I'm just wondering, in doing this, any thoughts about some of the steps that people would take? Because right now, if I'm understanding, in the more sane future that you're talking about, people wouldn't be running around trying to own everything. And so how do we get from where we're at with people owning stuff and trying to get more to giving up ownership for the common good?
Well, you can own the earth. You live a certain amount of time and the earth is still here. Ownership, people really don't want ownership. What they want is access to the necessities of life when they want it. And we can, when you consider it, there are millions of automobiles outside of factories. They don't need to sit there for 8 hours. They don't need to rest. Automobiles can be used by people coming out. For example, if all people get off at 4:30 or 5 o'clock, your freeways are going to be choked up. So you have to stagger the calendar. So 1/7 of the population is off every day of the week. So you never have any traffic jams. if they just all go to the beach Saturday and Sunday, you stagger the work shift so that the beaches are never crowded. It's very easy to do that.
Also, in regards to your question of how do you make people give things up, you don't. You really can't superimpose this on today's society. But this society is falling apart. It's not working all over the world. And this society is on its way out. If we don't blow ourselves up, or if we don't poison ourselves, or anything like that first, the sheer march of events in society is going to demand change. And what I mean by that is automation is taking away more and more jobs. In order to compete with companies that are automating almost 100%, you have some companies automating your automotive plants in Japan. And in order to compete with that, we have to go offshore for cheap labor or automate, which is even cheaper than going for low-cost wages abroad. So what happens is people lose their jobs, and they're losing their jobs in groves due to this, and they won't have the purchasing power to buy the goods and services turned out. This, we're well into that process, which means the free enterprise system cannot exist. We are producing money out of thin air to keep people in slavery, really, and in debt. This system's based on debt. Making money is based on perpetual debt, and it's not going to work. People are really slaves to their jobs that they don't like. They go to school, and they become cogs on a wheel to take on a position in society that really hurts them. The amount of stress in this society is terrible as well. So if we want a world with no war, no poverty, no hunger, no crime, we really have to work towards a resource-based economy. And this is the time to be talking about this system while we still can, as the old one is falling apart, so people know what direction to move toward and they want to advocate it. And this is why we want to do a major motion picture, because if we show people what it's like instead of just talking about it, they will get a better understanding and want to do something like that. They would see the benefits of science and technology. Today, science and technology is abusive. It takes people's jobs away and leaves you homeless and with nothing, very often on the streets. So when we introduce technology, when technology does away with people's jobs in a resource-based economy, your standard of living is improved. Everybody's standards of living is improved because there's more goods and services available for free for everyone.
Wow. There's Roxanne, Jacques, this is absolutely thrilling. And I know you're there in Venus, Florida. Please, once again, I want to make sure I've got the website correct. People would go to The Venus Project, THEVENUSPROJECT.com. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And folks, when you're looking and you go on the website getting information, the frequently asked questions, I mean, you may have visited a few websites and when you go to the home page and then under the Venus Project, it's a pull-down menu, the FAQ, you better bring a sandwich and some water, because there is amount of detail here to absolutely keep you occupied for a whole long time, because this is that well thought out. When you get
Kenneth, let me tell you where I got these ideas from.
Yes.
I got the idea from the human body. If the brain says, I do all the thinking, I want most of the nutrients, the lungs would say, if I don't oxygenate the blood, you die as a brain. And the brain would say, well, what do you need? Everything you need. And the lungs get whatever it needs. If the kidney didn't filter the blood, the lungs and the brain would die. So the kidney gets whatever it needs. All the organs of the human body get whatever they need. if there were a free enterprise system in the human body, you'd only live a few hours.
That's true. Well, I've never heard that put forward that way, and it is such a poignant and visually graphic way of helping people to understand this. We're just about out of time, and I feel like we've only begun. I think no wonder people come to your place on Saturdays and they're there for 5 hours, and even 5 hours, I don't think, just does more than scratch the surface.
You'd be surprised. In 5 hours, I change people, so when they leave, they're different than when they entered.
But it is still only an introduction. It's a lifetime's worth of work coming up with new ideas.
Well,
we do have a lot of that information on books and videos, so it's there.
Yeah, well, this is good. I certainly want to encourage people, and I know I will personally be studying this more and perhaps down the road, if you're open to it, have you as a guest again on this show, because there's just so much more, and it'll give me a chance to do some more research, too. So I am just so grateful for all that you've done, Jacques and Roxanne, with all this devotion and this careful thinking to give us a sane pathway to a happy life that we all want. Thank you.
Thank you again, Kenneth, for the opportunity to present the Venus Project.
Yes, thank you,
Ken. To you, Jacques, Roxanne, just nothing but happy wishes that all the resources that you need for this, the movie, setting up pilot projects where people can practice in communities that are self-sustaining to do this, I certainly want to see that, and we'll do my best to spread the word, and so we'll keep reporting on this from time to time, and coming and visiting your website to see how it's coming along. In the meantime, God, thank you so much, and to you and Jacques and Roxanne, and to my beloved listeners, thank you so much for participating and interacting, and until we meet again, as I say every week. God bless. Now. Let go of it.